will give us his take. In the next 5 or 6 minutes, he would give us his perspective from where they sit at Imani, and then we would ask him one or two questions before we move on to the next issue, where he would do another such presentation, then we ask him a few questions. Hello, Bright. Thank you so very much for making time to join us.
Thank you very much, Samson, for having me.
Right.
So with your permission, can I proceed to discuss the Asenoff matter?
If we can begin with the IPPs and the threats, which has now been suspended. We can go to Asen later on.
Okay, the way that I was advised in advance was to build up the connections between the three issues.
Okay, please go on.
Okay, thank you. So regarding Asenoff, I think the reason why this is interesting is that most of these issues that we are discussing, fascinatingly, have a very strong link to what we can expect in 2024 as far as the political fortunes of the MPP and the NDC are concerned. And while it may not be so, you know, from the surface, I hope that in the conversations and in the presentation I'm about to make, those links will be apparent. The question is, of course, 2024 might present us with a reset. And the issue is pretty simple. Each of the parties have had 16 years now in the Fourth Republic, or at the very least by 2024, they will have had 16 years each. And we've had these 8-year cycles. Now, the question that is on everybody's mind is whether that 8-year cycle then is cast in stone or is due for a reset. We also have, of course, the very interesting situation of a former president returning. And that leads us to the question around how do we use the limited data we have of the two by-elections? And of course, that's a very small sample, and small samples are not often very useful for extrapolating to broader consequences. But that notwithstanding, we have enough information from the two by-elections to begin to build a kind of model. So we start off with Kumewu, and what you see from Kumewu on the screen is basically the 2016 election results and the 2020 election results. And that gives you a sense of what is the core base of each party. The information that is on the screen gives you a sense of what traditionally the MPP is able to secure in terms of votes.
And you see that right. Forgive me, but I understand that you are sharing your screen so that we can all see it in bold print. Is that it?
Yes, that's what I'm doing.
Okay, thank you. Please go on.
Okay, so in essence, the MPP has roughly, you know, 22,000 thereabout, if you do a projection over time, and you look at, I'm only showing a few results because I don't have time. But if you do an analysis from 1996 onwards, you get a sense that the MPP's base, if you project it to today, is roughly in the region of about 22,000 versus the MPP base, which is something in the region of 3,500 to 4,000. So that's what is interesting. How much, what is the core base, and then what swing dynamics you can look at from election to election. What was interesting in the case of the 2020 elections was that the MPP core was split because you had an insurgent from within the party, somebody from within the party who went independent. The truth of the matter is that that person was an MPP person through and through, and most of the people that will have gone with him in that split moment were MPP people. So in essence, you have an MPP core base that have been split into two, and now we have an situation where in the latest by-election results, those MPP people that have gone to the independent candidate appear not to have voted, or we can assume that maybe they voted for someone else. The reason why we cannot assume that they voted for someone else is to look at the raw numbers. When you look at what the MPP candidate got, the MPP candidate got votes that were significantly lower from the usual trend of MPP votes. He lost about 7,000 of the core voters. You might argue that, well, that was a by-election, and typically by-elections have lower turnout. The truth is that it's not true that consistently by-elections have lower turnout. Sometimes they have lower turnout, sometimes they don't. The second issue is that even if you make provision for the possibility that some people did not vote because it's a by-election, you have to then account for why the NDC vote remained within the NDC long-term trend. So it's essentially, how come NDC voters are not affected by the notion that it's a by-election and therefore usually turnout is smaller? Of course, overall turnout was not very encouraging, but that is easily and better explained by the fact that MPP voters more likely stayed home than NDC voters. And that fact is very significant because it shows that the NPP is losing some core, some members of its core base, and that the NDC is maintaining a steady core base. When it comes to the swing voters, it's not too apparent from this particular by-election, but that important fact that you had a certain trend over a number of years within Kumewu in terms of how many people can be described as being forming part of the NPP core base. And then in this by-election, it turns out that a good number of them did not vote. We go into the Afsin North trend and it's the same analysis. You look at the, you know, the voting patterns from 1996, and it gives you a sense of what are the core, what is the core base of the NPP versus the NDC. But here, the difference is that it's a swing vote, a swing constituency. It's a place where both parties have in the past won elections. So that gives you an interesting dynamic around how will swing voters potentially behave in this election. And why is that important? I'll come to that in a second. What you do see, though, is that the NPP core votes have remained steady around the 15,000, 16,000 over the last couple of years. In the by-election, first, you have a very high turnout compared to the Kumawu by-election. That high turnout shows that the winning candidate managed not only to bring to the vote their core constituency, but they also brought the swing voters out. So that's an important point. The second thing that you also notice is that the NPP actually saw a slight reduction in their core base, and the NDC remained stable. What that is telling us quite clearly is that the NDC is not wowing the swing voters yet. That notwithstanding, their core base is turning out, and therefore they are sustaining their core base. The NPP, on the other hand, appears to be losing their core base in both elections, and that is very significant. Mm. However, because overall, Asin is a swing constituency overall, it shows that in swing constituencies, in these types of elections, you're going to get the mobilization effort leading to a lot more voters coming up because they are not sure if their party will win or not, and that is an interesting dynamic to watch. The last point I'll make in respect of the Asin North by-election and its connection to 2024 is that we have to go back and look at the research that has been conducted over the years about swing voter constituency patterns, swing voter patterns in this country. And one of the key things that you realize is that, yes, campaign activity is always very important, how you campaign, how you effectively you do it. And I think NPP in both constituencies seem to have outclassed the NDC when it comes to sheer campaign mobilization. Part of that, I think, is to do with better resource mobilization. They have more money. The challenge, though, is that swing constituencies tend to respond more to economic factors. And because they respond more to economic factors, and here I'm using Afrobarometer data to try and discern how the core versus the swing constituency dynamics tend to work. Because they respond more to economic factors, if there are general economic conditions in the country that are negative, the incumbent party, in this case, the NPP, will suffer regardless of how well it mobilizes. All of this tells us very clearly that the NPP should already start worrying. The trends that are coming up from the two by-elections are not too favorable. And some of that may be linked with massive disgruntlement in their grassroots and to some extent the economic factors that are prevailing in the country. But I think the number one issue is that MPP, the strong core of the MPP, is beginning to waver. One reason being that MPP constituencies, over time, MPP has benefited more from the swing voting constituency in this country more than the NDC. So in those circumstances, as we have in the coming elections, where economic situations mean that swing voters are more concerned or are more anxious, the NPP might suffer a bit more than the NDC.
That's a very